So this module is on vision, values, and contract. So visions are what we are looking to achieve in our life. What is your vision of your life? What is my vision of my life? What is your partner's vision of their life? So to give you an idea, I have a vision to impact 1 million relationships. Part of the reason I'm developing this course is so that it makes it easier to get out and spread this knowledge, this work. So it's like a million relationships having an individual session with me. I can't do it one-on-one. It also helps me leverage and provide this resource to other people. So that's part of my vision. So what's your vision? What's your vision around career, around family? What's your vision when you're going to, you know, get old and the rest of it and retire? Well, there's you and me. Now, if you're with a partner, one of you can take the you, one of you can take the me. So before you got together, you will have your vision and your values. Values are what are important to us. Values are like what guide us. Your partner will have their vision and their values. Now, here's the thing about vision and values. If you're not clear on what your vision and values are in your life, someone else will give them to you. If you don't know what sort of work you want to do, someone around you will certainly, like parents, will tell you what is good to do. When you get into a relationship, you bring your vision and your values. Now, sometimes one person can dominate the visions and values of the relationship. In my marriage, in a way, I dominated the vision and values of that. One of my visions was to own our own home before our kids went to high school. So a lot of my behaviors, a lot of my values were driven around that. For example, we lived in Hampton, which was a beachside suburb between Sandringham and Brighton in Victoria, Australia. I used to work in the city, and I used to catch the train into the city every day. Now, because I wanted to pay our house off before the kids went to school, I used to ride my bike to another station, which was Zone 1 and Zone 2, rather than riding it to the closest station, which was like only 5 minutes away. I used to ride a bike 15 to 20 minutes away, so I would save money. I'd also take my own lunch that I didn't buy lunch, again, to save money. So I was driven to work hard to make the money to pay off the house. So I tended to control the money. Look, we had a budget, we ate well, there was no problems there, except that was my culture. And whenever my wife would sort of address it, I would tend to put the screws on. Now, school holidays, she loved Bali, so she would go to Bali with the kids. I couldn't justify it to myself to take the time off work, because that would be eating into my holiday pay. It meant that when they were away, I could be renovating the house on my own, doing enamel painting, things they didn't like. So to me, holidaying with them wasn't my priority. My priority was focused around the house and setting up that financial base. In hindsight, if I'd have addressed that, again, it's another thing where we probably would still be together today. So my wife decided that that wasn't what she wanted. She wanted something else. I wasn't providing her with the emotional support, etc. So here's the healthy way to be in a relationship. You have your vision and values. I have my vision and values. Your partner has their vision and values. And you have a relationship. A relationship, think of it as a separate entity. Think of it as like another child. Think of it like a plant. Think of it as something that needs nurturing. It needs energy putting in. It needs input. Just like a plant needs sunlight and water and good ground to grow in. It needs attention and energy put into it. Get clear on your own vision and values. Have the partner get clear on their vision and values. And your goal, your job in a relationship, if you like, is to support each other's vision and values, whether they're career vision and values, whether it's travel, whatever it is. Get clear on what their vision and values are, so in a relationship, you're there to support. At the time of making this course, my last relationship ended on the 1st of January 2017. One of the reasons it ended was because I didn't see a clear vision for us to be moving forward. And my partner wasn't fully supporting me in my vision for my work and my career. Support each other in your vision and values, but with the relationship, you need to sit down and get clear on what the vision and the values for the relationship are. So, for example, if you're young and you're just starting a relationship and you're looking to settle down, it would be a good idea to decide whether or not you want children. I had one client come in and he was quite serious. He said, well, I want 10 children. She simply said, we'll start with one and see how you go. If he was adamant that he needed 10 children, he may need to find another partner that really is on board with him to have 10 children. If he just wants a family and a happy family, and he starts with one and they work it out as they go, he's probably in the right place. Get clear on what the vision for the relationship is. Now, there's other areas that you can look into, like where do you want to live, how do you live, what do you do for the domestics, shopping, cooking, cleaning. There's all these things that go into a relationship. One of the things I say is a relationship is like a business in the sense that there's a whole lot of roles and jobs to be done. Get clear on what you see the relationship to be. Where do you see in terms of the vision? Where do you see yourselves in 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, 10 years, 20 years? What do you see yourselves doing in retirement? What does old age look like? It doesn't have to be planned out and mapped, but at least get on the same page. I had one client come in and say, well, her husband's vision of retirement was buying a boat and going sailing around the world. Well, guess what? That wasn't hers. Now, when you get clear on your vision and values for your relationship, and remember, values are what are important to you. When you're clear on your vision and values for your relationship, you must agree on those because this is what you're working towards. There's an advanced module where I go through how to clearly define those. At the moment, we're just getting you on the page. Now, I haven't found a better way to do this. I believe that every relationship needs to have a written contract. Otherwise, what are you working towards? Most people in relationships have got their contract in their head, thinking that the other person has signed it. If you think logically, if you're going to buy a house, there's typically going to be two contracts. There's going to be a contract for sale when you purchase the house. There's going to be a contract with the bank when you take out a loan. If you build a house, there's going to be a contract with the builder and possibly also with the bank again when you borrow money. When you buy a car, there's a contract. If you are an employee, you've signed an employee contract. If you're an employer, you get your employees to sign contracts. We have contracts everywhere. A contract is an agreement that we're working towards. As I mentioned earlier, my last relationship ended on the 1st of January, 2017. Now, what I've been saying to my clients over the last few months, couple of months, is I'm single and in 6 to 12 months, I'm going to be looking at getting into a relationship. So I'm going to go out speed dating. So here's the situation. Speed dating, let's say there's 10 women and 9 other men. So here's my opening line. I'm looking for a long-term relationship. By long-term, I mean being with my partner till one of us dies. I'm looking for the relationship to be open, honest, and respectful. And by respectful, I mean we take the time to really listen to each other. Why am I using that? Well, that's building the foundation that I showed you on the previous slides. Open and honest is building trust. Respectful is being able to sit and zip it and really listen and understand the other person. So my line is, I'm looking for a long-term relationship, which means till one of us dies, where we're being open and honest and respectful, and by respectful I mean we take time to listen to each other. Ladies, how do you think that is a line to start off with? Next, I find somebody and we start dating. Now for me, the dating period would probably be 2 or 3 months. If there's anybody here doing these modules and doing this course that isn't in a relationship, I would simply recommend that you don't sleep with someone you've found that you're starting to date for at least 2 or 3 months. Because for me, sex is the outcome of when you want to spend that time with each other. If you just want to have sex quick, well, guess what? Make that clear up front. You're not building a long-term relationship. You just want to get into bed with somebody. So for me, if we're building a long-term relationship, we need to get to know the person first. We need to really be able to connect with that person. That bit aside, I find somebody, we're attracted to each other, we start dating, we're on the same page. This is about getting to know each other. So this is about learning about each other's vision and values, their passions and dreams, and also their likes and dislikes. Because I want to be sure that there's a lot of compatibility. I can see that we're going to work together moving forward. We get through this stage, we agree, we have a common vision for our relationship moving forward. Now, this is where it gets serious, if you like. Now, if you had just done this one thing in your relationships when you started it, if I had just done this one thing in my relationship, in my marriage, when I first started it, I would guarantee I would be with my wife today. Are you curious as to what that thing is? Here it is. Working at being happier every month. Now, the way that this gets set up is you have what I call a happiness date. Every month, have a date, just the two of you, where you go out to dinner or you go out somewhere, a picnic or whatever, you go and have time together. So here's how to set up the happiness date. You take along a bottle of your favorite wine or your favorite drink and you leave it corked. And you just ask each other these questions. In the previous month, what was your happiest time, your happiest moment or moments? And each of you answer and listen. Then you ask, what were the worst time or times during the month for you? And again, both of you answer. And finally, each of you need to answer this question. In the previous month, were you as happy or happier than the month before? And if the answer is no, you leave the bottle corked and you sit down and say, what are we going to do to make this month more happier than last month? If the answer is yes, high five, celebrate, and you might even talk about what you're going to do to make this month even more happier than last month. People want happy relationships. So why haven't people built this in right at the start? So I would encourage you, if you're in a relationship right now, or if you're starting a relationship, from this month on, put in a happiness date and follow that format. Next, conflict resolution. I have a really, really simple thing that I tell my clients. If you argue over the same thing twice and don't have a resolution or a solution, you need to book a session with me. Now, this isn't about me drumming up business. This is about me supporting people to give them the skills to resolve conflicts. Because chances are, first time you have the argument, it puts it on the table. Second time, if there's no solution, there'll probably be a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh time. Someone at some point is giving up. Someone is compromising. Resentment will be built along the way. So I just simply say, if you have an argument over something twice, just book a session. And you bring it along. And the intention of the session is, okay, let's break it down. Let's work through it. Let's see where there are deficiencies in your knowledge or skills to be able to resolve this and other things going forward. Life is too short to be unhappy, so why carry on these things? How many relationships out there have had an ongoing argument or an ongoing issue that's been there almost since day one? That's just been building resentment and putting crap into what can be a beautiful relationship. Again, another big mistake I made in my marriage was never going to see anybody when we had the ongoing arguments and conflict. Which leads us on to the next point. Be willing to change and grow. So there'd be times when it would be good to go to see an expert, a relationship specialist, marriage counselor, someone you trust, to help with the issues to make your relationship happier, to keep it back on track. Also, there might be times when you need to work on yourself. There might be some issues come up. You need to find a good counselor. It might be your relationship specialist. It might be a good psychologist or psychiatrist. It might be someone really good in the field to help work on some specific issues that keep coming up for yourself. Because your partner is not your therapist. Your partner is there to love you. You're there to love each other and build a relationship together. It's just like if you're building a house, then you need to bring in an electrician, a carpenter. You know, you need to bring in the specific skills to help build what you want. Finally, write in your contract the non-negotiables. So I'll give you two big areas, and you can add what other things are important for you. First one is, I believe in a relationship there should be no sleeping with anyone outside of the relationship. If you're thinking or you're getting attention from someone else or your attention is wandering, write it in there that you'll talk to each other about it, because it probably means there's something that needs to be addressed inside the relationship. Secondly, I believe that there should be no abuse in relationships. There should be no reason to hit anybody. Physical abuse in my world is a relationship ender. Now, there might be other forms of abuse like verbal abuse, yelling at each other, financial abuse, emotional abuse, intellectual or mental abuse. In my world, any form of abuse in a relationship needs to be addressed. So if any one of you in a relationship feel abused, then seek help to sort it out. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not in a relationship to be abused or for that abuse to carry on. Because if you have children, you are just teaching your children how to have a relationship. If you are being abused in a relationship, you're teaching your children to either abuse or be abused. Now, a lot of people have marriage ceremonies where they say their vows along the lines of, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to death do us part. And they never go back and revisit the vows. They simply say the vows like they're going through the motions and then just get on with life. So I'm encouraging you to have a contract in place. Now, one of the things I'm going to do at some stage is go round to some ministers or celebrants. And I'm going to ask them if they could invite me to a wedding, because I just want to test this out if they're willing to. So just imagine this. We're at a Greek wedding, meaning Greek, like lots of people, or it could be Italian. Anyway, a big wedding. And you've got the minister up there, or the priest, and they've just gone through the vows, and I'm there with my video camera because I want to get this on video. And he says to the bride and the groom, okay, we've just been through the vows. In sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, to death do us part. Are you sure you don't want to add this clause? I just want to be 100% sure that you don't want this in there. And they go, what's that? Only when it suits me. Just think about that for a minute. I reckon there'll be a shocked face on the bride and the groom. I reckon it'll sink into the congregation or the people there for a moment, and then I reckon there'll be people cracking up. Because think about how many relationships start, they say their vows, and then when it doesn't suit somebody, they just give up. Would you agree that if you do the preparation work, you're clear on your vision and values, not only for yourself, your partner's also clear on their vision and values, and you're clear on the vision and values for the relationship which you have agreed, you have a contract where you have the written commitment, which is something that you're working towards, where you're doing the daily work, which is the into me I see, into you I see, and through you I see me, you can't help but having a marriage which is the outcome of a good relationship, and I'm willing to bet you'll have a relationship that people will envy. People will want what you've got. It just takes some work. Pause the video for a moment and just identify where you are or where you believed you got to in your relationship. So pause the video for a moment. Now, some people will say, well, we had a marriage, we're doing this, we're doing that. I just want to go clearly by my definitions. If you do not have a written contract that's signed and agreed, I'm sorry, guys, you are simply dating. You might have discussed vision and values. Well, unless your vision and values are actually written and you've got vision and values for your relationship that are written and down, well, guess, guys, you're only dating. So these are just areas to be tidied up. I don't care whether someone's been together for 30, 40, 50 years even. If they don't have a written contract, they've just been dating that whole time. That's in my world. The areas that need work. Most people need to go back and redo some preparation work. I've given you a good resource, the book, to do that. Get clear on your vision and values, individually and for the relationship. Write out your contract because that's what you're committing to. You can include in it your vision and values. Include in it your 101 goals. Make this a living document. Include in it all the steps we've got here. Intimacy, do the daily work. Into me I see, into you I see, and through you I see me. Then you'll have the marriage, which is the outcome of a great relationship. Just to finish off the section, these are the phases that people go through in a relationship. When people get together, there's a honeymoon phase where everybody's happy, where they don't believe it will ever end. People are so in love. It's a joy, can't wait to see each other. If the honeymoon phase was a fire, that's like a bonfire. It takes a lot of energy and it's not sustainable. Then people will plateau. When people plateau, that's when there's a level of security. People revert back to their normal behaviors. Life starts to get in. People put up with little things. You know, they're comfortably uncomfortable. They're in like a comfort zone. There's no major dramas and life is just going on. My definition of trauma is when at least one person is thinking of leaving the relationship. Just thinking of leaving the relationship is like sowing a weed in your garden. It's like planting a toxic weed in your garden. Even just thinking it there means you're entertaining it, means there is something wrong. So, no couple has ever come to me to date that hasn't been in trauma where they haven't at least been thinking recently of leaving the relationship. Now, it's going to end in one of two outcomes. Either there's going to be separation or there's going to be intimacy, meaning there's the opportunity to learn and grow. Into me I see, into you I see, and through you I see me. I get excited because everyone who walks through the door is at their peak of wanting to learn to change and grow. So my question is, so who of you has thought of leaving the relationship? And when was the most recent time and when did it start? So just take a moment just to sit back, consider that, and write it down. Again, this is all about just getting real, getting where we are. So the idea in relationships is to have honeymoon moments. Are you still having date nights? What are you doing during the day, during the week, during the month to bring some life, to bring some sparkle into your relationship? I mentioned earlier having a happiness date. Suggest that you book that in now, book it in advance. Some couples, one person decides 1 month, the next person decides another month. For dates, some people say, monthly dates is not enough. We want weekly dates. We want fortnightly dates, whatever. It's up to you to decide your level based on your needs. So, as I said, the idea is to have these happiness moments. What can you do during the day to create some moments for yourself and your partner? These modules have just been about getting you present to where you are in your relationship. The next modules coming up will give you strategies and more awareness and understanding of yourself and your partner. Just on a personal note, when my relationship with my wife got into trauma, we didn't have these things in place. Over a 2-year period, we separated 3 times. And part of my driver, part of the reason I do this, is I had to learn what relationships are about. That was a mission I went on because it caused me so much pain and so much loss when I lost my marriage and my family. to the point where I haven't even had contact with my children over the last 10 years. So my wish is that other people don't need to suffer like I had suffered, and I didn't have these things in place. My biggest mistakes to date through this was I never sought help. I did some individual personal growth, but I didn't sustain it. It didn't turn into a habit. That caused a major problem of making promises that I didn't keep. I promised I'd change, I'd get to a good point, and then life and work would get in the way. When my marriage broke down, family doctor referred me to a psychiatrist. So not really cool for a guy in their early 30s going along to a psychiatrist. I would go in there whenever I was at my lowest, I'd go in and he would see me. He would validate me. He finally got me back to being functioning. But the mistake, if I look back in time, what he didn't say to me is go find yourself a good life coach. Go find yourself a good counselor. Go find yourself someone to work on you to become a better person, because I just thought I could do it all on my own. That is torturous. There are good people out there to work with that can help you get there a lot faster. That's my vision, my intention with these modules and the course that I'm doing. The next module is giving you some strategies that you can implement immediately in your relationship.